morning. It is Pentecost Sunday, and so I want to go through our passage for today. So Acts chapter 2. And Acts chapter 2 starts like this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Met de feestdag in Nevada erin, Jeruzalem wel geloven, Joden uit al de landen van de wereld. Toen zijn het geluid gehoorden, liepen zijn allemaal te hoop. Zijn raakten in verwarring, omdat ieder van hen die apostolen in zijn eigen taal hoorde spreken.
Haar ze zich bobo, en nu zie je aan. Won we voor haar aan wiepe, woe. Ara Galilee. Ki gbogbo awon tin soro won yin se e a se ti awa fi n gbo olukuluku ni ede wa ni eyi ti abi wa
Partos, Medos y Elamitas, habitantes de Mesopotamia, de Judea y de Capadocia, del Ponto y de Asia, de Frigia y de Panfilia, de Egipto y de las regiones de Libia cercanas a Cirene, visitantes llegados de Roma.
그레테인과 아라비안들이라 우리가 각 우리의 각 방언으로 하나님의 큰 일을 말함을 듣는도다 하고 다 놀라며 당황하여 서로 이르되 이 어찌 된 일이냐 하며
Lakinas bethap et begul hadol sakran botros bewagaf maeledash ragel ubesot ali hakat mael nas esmaini ya yahud ukul el nas le besakam be jerusalem esmaya kulshi Beharsen elali bakalem maako.
Kur ata i dëgjuan këto gjëra, u pikolluan në zemër dhe pyetën Pietrin dhe apostujt. Vëlezër, ç'duhet të bëjmë? Atëherë Pietri u tha atyre, pendohuni dhe se cili nga ju le të pagëzohet në emër të Jezu Krishtit, për faljen e mëkateve, dhe ju do të merrni dhuratën e frymës së shenjtë.
For the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your Spirit. Thank you so much for your people and the world that you've given us and the beauty that comes with it. Thank you for each of these people, the families they represent, and the love they have for you. And thank you for a diverse church here at High Point and a diverse kingdom. It's in your son's name, amen. Well, good morning. I knew that that was happening today, and some of you did not. And that was still very powerful for me. So I hope that it was the same for you. Everybody but one from that group, that's their native language they grew up speaking, or it was the language in their household growing up. And just to let you know, we have five other people in our church who have five different languages that weren't going to be able to be here today. And so we have such a diverse church, and I'm so excited about it. We're in Acts chapter 2. We're in Acts chapter 2, and it's exciting to hear the Word of God spoken in so many languages. We're taking a pause from our Matthew series to celebrate the beauty that is Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday is when the Spirit of the Lord came down from heaven in the form of tongues of fire. Onto the apostles. Like I said, this Pentecost experience is from the book of Acts, which was written by Luke. And Luke might sound familiar. He also wrote another book. It's called, by his name, Gospel of Luke. And it's actually a two-volume set. And our Bible puts John right in the middle, mainly because we want all the Gospels to be at the front. But the book of Luke and the book of Acts collectively make up almost 30% of the New Testament. And so we're talking a significant portion of Scripture written by this man. And in the book of Acts, there are two main themes that are running throughout the book. First is that we are called to be witnesses to Christ. In the book of Acts, that's written, that's mentioned 31 times. And second, the continuity and the continual role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is referenced 56 times. Now, I think it's generally true that everyone is trying to improve themselves. They're trying to make their lives better, make a change for the better. That's why the self-help section at the bookstore is massive. Oddly enough, most of the ones at the secondhand bookstore are not being picked up. So whether they work or not is another question. That's also why there's so many commercials for diet fads, for exercise materials. The stock for Peloton skyrocketed during the pandemic when everybody was stuck at home and didn't know what to do, so they ordered Pelotons. When the stores were open during the pandemic, dumbbells could not stay in the stores. Everybody was buying them, keeping them over their house. If you go now on Facebook Marketplace, everybody's selling them for a lot cheaper, and it is not because they are... never mind. All right. A lot of people out there want to change their appearance for the better. Did you know you can get a poison injected into your face to keep you from having wrinkles? It's called Botox. Just in case you didn't know, this is 100% what God gave me. No Botox here. So in case you were curious why I look so young, it is not Botox. People are always looking to try to improve themselves. That's why we go to school to learn more, right? That's why, just like our staff did, we go to conferences. We go to seminars to learn how to do things better. People want to be changed for the better. So what is it about yourself that you'd like to change? If you could change one thing about you, what would it be? Is it the way you look? Something to do with your health? Something to do with your family relations? Something to do with your level of expertise on certain things? If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? I got to tell you some good news today. God is also interested in change. Today we're looking at Pentecost, and as we take a look at what happened at Pentecost many, many years ago, we see that God changed people's lives. And as we learn about that, I want you to see that God is wanting to change you as well. So how does God plan to do that? Well, let's take a look. There are two major changes that happened at the day of Pentecost, all right? The first change is what happened to the disciples. If you're familiar with the scriptures, you know that the disciples believed that Jesus was their Savior, but they were still confused about a lot of the things. They still didn't fully understand Jesus' mission, why he came to earth. They were still wondering if Jesus was going to be an earthly king. They were confused, and as a result, they were timid. They thought he was going into Jerusalem to straighten things out. Instead, he got crucified. Of course, he rose from the dead 3 days later, and then he ascended into heaven a while after that, but he told them he would send someone after he was gone. And that hasn't happened yet. Not in this point. So this is right after Jesus ascended in the book of Acts. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they'd entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So the disciples are pretty confused. They're praying about the gospel, but they're timid about sharing it. They're waiting on the baptism of fire that Jesus promised. They weren't confident about sharing the gospel with others. How could they be? They didn't fully understand what it meant. But then the Pentecost event came. After Acts 2, Pentecost took on a whole new meaning. Before that, before Acts 2 time, Jews would come every year to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. They would come to Jerusalem to celebrate two things. One, traditionally, this is the first day you could get wheat from the field. They're thanking God for provisions. And the other thing that this festival signified was the giving of the Torah, the law, to Moses on Mount Sinai. I want you to listen to the beginning of the event when God gave Moses these commandments. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. God descended like fire with loud sounds, and Moses, God's messenger, is given the law. This law that governs and impacts an entire nation of people, in fact, the world. The law that identifies the truth that needs to be heard. And in the midst of this Pentecost festival in Acts 2, the day of celebration where they are celebrating God coming down and giving this plan, this truth, this reality, we have God doing it again. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house while they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there was a dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. The disciples were together, and the sound of a rushing, blowing wind comes down from heaven, and what seemed like tongues of fire rests on their heads, just like when Moses received the commandments and God descended with fire and loud sounds. The Holy Spirit is doing the same. With loud sounds and with fire, God's Spirit descended on his messengers. And they were able to share the truth, the reality, the love that we all need to hear, and that all of us Christians can trace back to this one singular event. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in foreign languages that they had never learned before. And a crowd gathered from around the world, and they listened. And as the disciples praised God and preached the gospel, Peter stood up, the apostle Peter stood up and addressed the crowd, and he gave a beautiful sermon that the Holy Spirit gave him, empowered him to preach, and the sermon converted 300 people that day, 3,000 people that day. Do you see the changes that took place on the day of Pentecost? No longer were the disciples confused. Now they understood the plan of salvation. No longer were they timid. No, they were confident. They were speaking publicly. Think about Peter specifically. 2 months ago, he's so timid, he says he doesn't even know who Jesus is. And now he's speaking to that crowd with confidence, with an understanding that he had never had before. There was another change that took place on Pentecost. And you could argue that this change was more spectacular than what happened to the disciples. After Peter preached his sermon on Pentecost, 3,000 people came to faith and were baptized. We don't know much about these people. We know that Jerusalem was packed with people because of the festival. Jews from all over the Roman Empire came, 3,000 of them, who were not Christians, who did not believe in Jesus, and their lives were changed that day. Their whole way of looking at God, their whole way of looking at themselves, their whole way of looking at the world, looking at eternal life, everything changed that day. Now these people know how to spend eternity with God. Now these people know how to be at peace with God. They now know Jesus is their Savior, and they get to go back to where they're from and share it. One of the think tank questions that gets thrown around at seminaries with regard to this is whether the miracle is the speaking by the disciples or the hearing by the people. Because it could be argued that based on the geographical regions listed, that there are more than 12 languages present and 12 disciples speaking, yet each heard in their own language. I'm sure that conversation could be had, and there are debates that could be said and theories. But here's what I do know. The Holy Spirit was at work then, and he's at work now. He is at work today. And whether it's in the words that I preach or the verses that Tyler sings or the readings from the Bible in another language as we had this morning, God is working in the lives of both the speaker and the receiver. This morning, when we were practicing this, Linda, who speaks Albanian, is so used to speaking to us in English that she started reading her part in English. And it took me a minute to go, now is the Holy Spirit having me hear Albanian in English? Or is something else going on? But that's the faith we gotta have, right? Peter's sermon was simple. Peter talked about Jesus. He talked about who Jesus is. He talks about why Jesus matters in their lives. He talks about the truth of the salvation that comes from belief in Jesus the Messiah. He doesn't look around and start condemning lifestyles. He doesn't start listing sins that should be avoided or look down on others for not living up to a standard of a religion that they don't believe in. He preaches Jesus. And when you believe in Jesus and when you ascribe to that, he changes your life. Those things will get changed for the better. You will be living how God wants you to live. But that's not what Peter preached here. He teaches Jesus, and he teaches Scripture. And every Sunday here at High Point, whether it's me or someone else from the preaching team, I want you to leave here going home saying that Jesus was preached and glorified and that our truths that we said aligned with Scripture. When Peter finishes his sermon, they asked him questions. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word and were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Peter's response to what needs to be done is summed up almost the exact same as the Great Commission. Peter said, repent and be baptized for every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. We do this part pretty well. We tell people, repent and be baptized. We tell people, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. Fix it. And we'd love to dunk you in the water. But what comes next? And that's where the words of Jesus come into play right before he went into heaven. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. Don't just tell people what they're doing wrong and dunk them underwater and then release them out into the world. Raise up disciples. If you're not raising up disciples, you're just getting people wet. It's a process. It's where real change starts. So Pentecost Sunday, the first Pentecost in Acts 2 can be summed up in one word, and I believe that one word is change. We see the change that took place in the disciples and the change that took place in the 3,000 people. And we need to recognize that our world today needs change. There's so many people who don't believe in Christ, who don't know how to go to heaven to spend eternity with their God. There's so many Christians who are like the disciples were before Pentecost. They're confused, and they're timid, and they're weak. And we need the Holy Spirit to continue working in us to change us. We talked about how everybody thinks they want to be better, do things to make themselves better. But on this front, we don't think we need to be changed. I'm right. I'm all right the way I am. We say to ourselves, why do I need to change myself? And the answer is, what do you need to change? A lot. And I do too. Yes, it's true. Some of us in this room are Christians, but we still have sinful habits that we don't want to get rid of. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to say the same thing I said a few weeks ago. Your sin doesn't love you. And as Christians, there are moments when we're selfish. Moments when we get angry. Moments when we gossip. When we have moments where we completely misunderstand what God is telling us in the Bible. And sometimes we use the Bible as a weapon. We still have moments where we fail to share our faith because we're too timid. We all need to keep changing. We still need to become more and more like the people God wants us to be. We need to be Jesus-like people doing Jesus-like things because our souls are dirty and unclean and unholy. But how does a person change their soul? You can't do it by trying to be a better person. That's like saying something mechanically is wrong with my car. I'm going to fix it by trying to be a better driver. That's not how it works. You need someone to work on your engine, your soul. The thing is, your soul's too complicated for you to fix by yourself. You need someone to fix it, and that someone is the Holy Spirit. How? How do the changes come? Well, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came directly to the disciples. And today he could do that if he wanted to. But the Bible says it works in a different way. Pentecost was a one-time event, the introduction of the Holy Spirit into the world. There were no Christians who knew the truth, no real grasp on what needed to be done. Then the Holy Spirit came and changed everything. The 12 received a miraculous gift, and that gift has been passed on to believers and believers and believers ever since for 2,000 years. And that's where we get the Holy Spirit from that's in us today. The Holy Spirit has been at work in our world for 2,000 years. So what does the Holy Spirit do today? Today, the Holy Spirit comes to you through worship. The Holy Spirit's with us when we worship God, when we open our hearts and raise our voices in praise to Him. It prepares our heart to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us. And no matter the number of musicians on the stage, what instruments are used, or what style of music is played, the Holy Spirit's here, and worship is special. The Holy Spirit also comes to you through preaching of the word. On the surface, it may not look like anything spectacular, but inside of you, all kinds of things, all kinds of changes are taking place. I can work on and study a sermon all week and show up on Sunday and not feel very confident about it. But I know that's what the Holy Spirit gave me. And then someone comes up to me and says, "What you said touched me today." And I have to believe, because I know it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And what happens when we combine God's word with the bread and the juice, just like Jesus did on the night he was betrayed? Once again, it doesn't look like anything spectacular, but it is. Because when we partake in communion, the Holy Spirit can change us, can strengthen our faith, increase our love for Christ and our love for one another. So what changed? I started out this sermon asking what changes you want to make in yourself. Do you want to be more confident? Do you want to be more at peace with God and yourself? Do you want to be less confused about the Bible? Do you want to understand it better? Do you want to be able to share your faith more naturally, more confidently? Do you want to be able to live the way God calls you to live in the Bible? Do you want to change your soul for the better? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He did it in a miraculous, unusual way on the first Pentecost. The color of Pentecost is traditionally red. And why is that? Red reminds us, of course, of Jesus' blood, which he shed as a payment for our sins. But red also reminds us of what looked like tongues of fire on the disciples' heads. Red reminds us of the invisible fire of faith that's burning inside of us. That's the gift the Holy Spirit has given us. And if you were to give the Holy Spirit a color, maybe the best color to describe him would be red, the color of fire. Because every time you come into contact with the word of God, fire enters your heart and burns away selfishness and confusion. That fire becomes the fire of faith, a fire that trusts and loves Jesus Christ as Savior. So if we could sum up Pentecost in one word, it's going to be change. So may the Holy Spirit continue to work in you, to change you, to fan the flame of the fire that is in each one of you. And I can't say it any better than Jesus did, so I'm just going to tell you what he said. Go Repent, make disciples, and baptize.